Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Favorite Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in Dot Zack Building in the Grand Center area, right here in St. Louis, Missouri. New records in every Friday, so come by, check it out, and pick up some new music. They have a great local selection, as well as all your favorite national acts. And check it all out. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're always giving away records and different things, and tickets and shows. And so follow along. It pays to support. Also, this year, Music Record Shop is the official record store of Lou Fest. So check it out. If you're over at Lou Fest this year, be sure to visit and say hey and pick up some new records from all your favorite Lou Fest artists. Again, everything at musicrecordshop.com. Check it out. Very excited to welcome Dynamic Screen Printing to the show. These guys have been just crushing it lately. They've been making shirts for all your favorites around town, including the brand new Rock Paper Podcast shirt. So I'm a proud customer. These guys have become great friends of mine, and I'm super happy that they're a part of this show now. This is a very exciting stuff. So check out Dynamic Screen Printing on Facebook. Feel free to email them any of your ideas at dynamicscreenprintingstl@gmail.com. And if you mention the show, 10% off your first order. So that's very exciting, very cool stuff. And get involved. Like I said, they're doing really great stuff. If you thinking about making some shirts for your band or next event or whatever it might be, whatever you need screen printed, feel free to reach out to Dynamic Screen Printing. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Quick question in that. This is Mike and Steven from Rock from Cussed Records. This record podcast.
Steven and Mike.
I quit.
Here's Steven and Mike.
Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out back here at Encapsulated Studios with the guys of Encapsulated Records, right?
Yep.
It's a tight-knit family.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome to the show, guys. You guys want to properly introduce yourselves?
I'm Mike. I am the proprietary to owner things. How's that work?
I'm a man with many hats.
Sure.
My name is Steven. I do social media.
Yeah, welcome to the show, guys. This is exciting stuff. I mean, this is our first time really getting to hang out. I met Steven officially,
Royale.
Yeah, briefly. Royale, yeah.
I think you're doing another podcast there, right?
Yeah, I was recording with Mike Tomko for Undercover Weekend.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, and we officially met that day, and this is our finally getting to meet Mike here and stuff. But I've been over here, like, we kind of talking a bit off mic there. I was like, I've been over here several times, and for a lot of what's going on over here at Encapsulated, between recording with Matt Amelong and, you know, we said Marcus Neustadt, Fister, and Modern Gold, and,
You did one with Amelong.
I feel so unimportant and last now.
No, there's a
the
lot.
The proprietor pushed it back. 2 minutes ago, you were like, I'm the proprietor.
Guess what? No one cares. Big surprise.
Now you're like, fourth in line, and I put this together.
Is that probably fifth in line? Yeah. Probably deeper than that. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
You're my sloppy fifths to the Rock Paper Podcast.
That's fine.
Well, there's a lot happening over here, and that's what's exciting, man. There's tons of great music coming out of this studio and stuff, and everything you guys are a part of, so... it's very exciting things are happening here in St. Louis. So
definitely,
I'm excited to talk to you guys about all that. But so one of the questions I had, and like we kind of, I was like, and I'm sure a lot of people, but there was Encapsulated Studios and Encapsulated Records, and I kind of wanted to get into kind of what separates the two, and like so, I obviously the studio is the studio. We're recording a lot of people all around town. But the records, I guess that's more into distribution and things.
Well,
and...
you know, when the original record label was I Hate Punk Rock Records, and like it was a fun vinyl distro, and we did a few local things, which is really cool. And we got the opportunity to put this place together, and we put the name Encapsulated on it. And it's, you know, it's not just, you know, it's me and Gabe and Matt and Andy and Steven. And it's a lot of people that work here that do different things. But we changed the record label name just to kind of fit with the studio. Encapsulated Records is its own little thing. It's bands and records that we, you know, release. It's physical releases of stuff
right. That
may or not have been recorded here. Bands from literally around the world we've been fortunate enough to work with. But it didn't make sense to have just two completely different business names. Like, there's different things going on, but everyone's kind of involved with everything,
right. So
to speak.
Yeah, so I guess kind of Encapsulated is just the brand, the
right.
The umbrella
for sure. Right.
That you guys have separated into studio and label.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we had a different printing company name at the time, too, before we got under here. And, like, it just didn't make sense to, like... let's brand all these three or four different products, but we're all in the same place. Like, mm-hmm. that's just dumb.
Yeah. Well, so, and like you're saying, you guys have been working with a lot of people that record here, but also around the world and things. And you guys have a couple of records. Actually, this Sweatshop record right here just came out. I said one you got to pick up and check that out, which I guess that's a...
It's real good.
It's yeah. It's fantastic.
It's awesome.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, Tim Jameson, the singer, like, being able to work with him, like, he's also singing for Ultraman, like, you know, Ultraman's been on tour with everyone for over the last 30 years.
I mean, that dude's just been doing it for so long.
And he just doesn't stop.
Down.
He's just so awesome.
Yeah, it's so fucking rad.
But also, like, this record is not Ultraman. It's like... it's part, like, modern, like, you know, it's part Pairs, it's part Snapcase. Like, it's not a punk record, it's not a hardcore record, it's not a metal record. Like, there's just, like, some awesome riffs in there. Like, it's so good.
They have an awesome music video where Tim plays, like, a newscaster, and robots are taking over. So if no one's seen that, look it up, because I think it's...
Oh, wait, that's a video?
Awesome.
I thought it was real life.
No. No, the robot apocalypse hasn't happened.
Are you sure?
I think so.
You're not real pop. You're not real pop.
I don't know, man. Now you got me second guessing myself.
Do you need some more Blart?
No one needs some. Okay.
Yeah. You can find all these records
at encapsulatedrecords.com.
There you go.
And
also, our Facebook page too links to the store really easily at the top. So yeah.
We got all the things.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. You like stuff? We got it for you.
Yeah, I saw. I was checking out the site though. You guys have some fun T-shirt designs and all kinds of things up there where you can all kinds of things to buy. So
if you like parody shirts, we got them for you. So we got a bunch.
Yeah, the
parody shirts are still cool.
The Descendants King of the Hill one, that was pretty good.
That's a fantastic mock collaboration.
Yeah.
We got a Slayer one that's super cool. The Danzig one might be my favorite. Yeah.
I actually like the Slayer one the best because I like Slayer.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think what sold the Descendants one for me was because at the bottom it said caffeine and caffeine related accessories.
Exactly.
So, that was pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, I like that shirt a lot.
So apparently, I actually think I saw a ripoff of that in Texas. I was down at Austin Terror Fest with Pfister, and I apparently was non-coherent and texted Andy, like, hey, dude, we need to make a mock-up of this design. And it just showed up in my email a couple days later. He's like, dude, is this what you wanted? I'm like, Andy, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you still need to do this. I'm like, well, I guess that happened.
In typical Mike fashion.
Yeah.
It's a cool shirt. I like it. I'm not comfortable enough with my own body to wear white t-shirts, though. So,
Steven, we can't have all black t-shirts.
I get really bad pit stains, and my nipples are always hard for some reason. So.
I don't get pit stains, but my nipples are always hard.
I'm just a generally excitable person, I suppose.
I feel, I mean, I quoted a lot, but I feel like, that line in, Walk the Line from, the Johnny Cash movie and all that, where he's, the whole Man in Black thing, and he's like, you're dressed like you're going to a funeral, and maybe I am, but I feel like that every time I go through my closet, there's just all black t-shirts, all these band shirts I have and everything, and so, but I when I ran my shirts, I did a red. I was like, I wanted something a little different than another black shirt. So,
yeah.
The red works, but yeah, like I say, man, everybody, it seems there's a lot of black band shirts out there.
I was into the all black wardrobe until I had a white dog.
Yeah.
White dog changes everything.
He says that as he's literally wearing a black hat, black shirt, and black shorts right now, though. Right. So, and even like
because all of my white shirts,
even like an all black stud belt as well. Yeah. So. He's like, I mean, don't let him fool you.
Touche.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I don't know a lot of this backstory stuff, but how did all this get rolling? How did you decide to get into Encapsulated Records and starting a record company and all this? And
I was in a bunch of bands in college, ran a record label in college. And kind of hit a point where I didn't like playing music anymore. I didn't like being on stage. Kind of got like this weird stage fright thing that I still kind of have, but, still kind of stayed involved with it. Got married, had the day job thing, took a few years off. Then I started, I Hate Punk Rock, which is probably like almost a dozen years ago now. Which was just a vinyl distro. And then we started doing a few releases and then, like, really getting to know a lot of people in St. Louis. Like, a lot of really talented people that were, you know, working and running studios out of their basements. Gabe was in literally his basement of his house. Matt was in the second story of his house. His old place was called Second Story Studios. Yeah. Working with a lot of bands and, like, seeing needs for different things. And so it just got to a point and like, well, I think if we did this and this and this, you know, this would be a cool thing in St. Louis. I think it could be, you know, rock mentality is not like successful. It's like, I think it could be sustainable.
At best.
Right.
On a good day.
You know, punk rock is, you know, the punk rock mentality is awesome, but it's so kind of like, you know, non-profitable at the same time. And, like, I still had that mentality at the time when we started this. And I got this, you know, like, well, what if we did practice rooms in a recording studio and, like, did screen printing, which I was doing out of my garage for, like, all the bands that I was working with at the time. And, like, we got this together, and, like, it sounds like a great idea on paper. And then, you know, there was this real-life thing with, like, you know, a real estate crash and, you know, mortgages and things like that. And, like, I literally got this place out of, you know, someone lost it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I got this from a bank for nothing. Like, if that crash wouldn't have happened, this place would not exist.
Yeah, right place, right time.
Huh? Right. So it's like, it's you know, it's a bummer because...
Condolences to all those who lost everything.
Another human being lost a bunch of money on this place, but at the same time, like, if that wouldn't happen, this would not exist.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know how to feel about that. It's weird. It's a really weird thing to, like, think about.
Yeah, you don't want your success to come off someone's, you know, like, misfortune. But,
right.
Well.
But, I mean, you know.
Also, like, the circle of life, right? You know, everything has to die to bring something else new, so.
Definitely. But it's still, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing to think about.
For sure. Yeah, no, I get it. But, so that was, so what, so how long now has Encapsulated been here?
Our 5-year anniversary, which we did not celebrate or promote, was in March.
Yeah. Well, very cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Just like in this spot.
One of the coolest things right now is the first band to actually practice here, like once a week, was Not Waving But Drowning in 2011. It was November and December. They played a sold-out show with Disappeared and a couple other bands at Cicero's on New Year's Eve that year. We weren't even legally open yet. We were finishing stuff up and, like, painting and, like, doing all, like, the fire safety stuff just to get up to code so we could open. But we were able to sneak them in here, and it was their first show in years. And now they're back again for the first time since then. Getting ready for their first show since 2011.
Doing a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blueberry Hill.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's really cool. I've also, like, when I ran my label in college, we had a couple releases out. I got a demo tape and a handwritten letter from Justin with his phone number on it. Like, hey, man, like, you know, you guys are in Cape Girardeau. You guys are doing some cool stuff. This is my band. Like, I know it's kind of weird and kind of, like, loud and... But, like, we're doing cool things, like, and it's so cool just to have that whole inception from them from, like, 1996, and then, like, they did all this awesome stuff, and then, like, meeting up with them again in, like, 2011, and, like, now again in 2017, like, it's really, really cool.
Yeah, man, very nice. You, so what do you have any advice or, maybe do's or don'ts for anybody wanting to start a label or start something like this?
Oh, God. I don't even know where to begin.
Because, yeah. I don't know. I don't really know where I'm going, what I'm going to do. But, like, I do have the ideas sometimes. Like, I have all these friends I'd love to get into putting together some kind of, you know, label of sorts, or what? I don't know exactly where, how I would go about doing all this stuff, but
the I hate saying this, but, like, if you don't advertise and your bands don't tour, no one's gonna care.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely.
Every city has awesome fucking bands. What separates your best punk band in St. Louis from the best punk rock band in Chicago? You know, if you don't leave your little area, if people... The whole term of, like, I want this to grow organically is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my fucking life.
Right.
You can post Facebook stuff all day long. You can post social media stuff all day long. But even that reach is limited.
Yeah, work has to be put in for sure.
Especially in guitar-based music. If you're doing punk rock or metal stuff or rock and roll stuff or whatever, your live show is yourself. It's your band. It's your attitude. It's your opinions. It's everything. If people don't see what you're about from face to face, like, there's someone just like you somewhere else. Like, the most important person in the music industry right now is a booking agent. It's not a label. It's not a distributor. It's not this. It's not that. It's how do you get yourself in front of the most people every night of the week?
For sure, man.
It's the absolute most important thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I hear bands saying, like, well, I don't want to pay 10% or 15%. Like, cool. Do you want to play basement shows and the smallest club shows in every city for the rest of your life? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if your aspiration is to not be that band forever, or, like, that's awesome when you're 18 to 23, and you've done it for 5 years, and then it's like, well, it's time for something new. No one wants to do the same thing their whole life. I don't care what it is.
Right.
You know, like, oh, it's cool. I've got this awesome apartment, and I've got this rad girlfriend, and we're doing this and this and this. But after 5 years, it's like, we're in the same place. Well, what's next? Like, what, do I need a new job? Like, what's going on? Like, what are you doing? It's like, everyone gets bored with everything after a certain amount of time. Like, you have these ethos at this level, and those ethos don't change, but it's like, well, you know what? I just want to play in front of more people. I want to sell more records. You know, I want to play in front of new people. I want what I'm saying and singing about to reach a bigger audience.
For sure.
You know, and like, I just think a booking agent, and a booking agent is the most important person right now. Like, you can go and spend $1,500 and record a full length record, $2,000 for a full length record at a good place, and it sounds great. You can go and make 300 CDs for $600. You know, throw it up on the interwebs on all the streaming stuff for $100. You know, what do you need to do besides that? Like, it's out there. How do you get out there more? You know, you need to fucking leave your hometown.
Right.
Yeah, the big part of that, too, is, like, from the aspect of, like, what I do is having bands that are also willing to help promote themselves, right? Because, like, as a label, you can only do so much, mm-hmm. right? To say, like, oh, like, here's tour dates, here's upcoming shows, here's release dates, here's, oh, we got a new t-shirt out. Whatever, and it's important to have bands that are willing to also promote themselves. Like, it's not shameful to be like, hey, we got cool new shit.
You have to have everyone on the same page.
And sometimes there's bands that act like they don't want to fucking do that. And it's like,
we did a record that the band did not want to do a record release show because they thought they were promoting themselves too much. I'm like, fuck you. You're doing a fucking record release show.
It's like, be stoked about what you're doing, like, and you made this fucking awesome banger of a record, and be proud of it, and put it out there, and show your friends, right? Because that's ultimately what this should all be about, right? You know, is people coming together and sharing art and ideas and being like, hey, check it out. Oh, that's cool. I like that. I'm proud of you. Awesome. You know what I mean? So, I think, you know, and there's, luckily, we've, like, there have been bands that I've worked with here that, like, Fuck Off and Die is a great example. They are not afraid to be like, we got a show coming up, we got a tour coming up.
They are active. They're
and like, they put work in.
They're one of the most DIY bands in St. Louis. They record their own stuff, they print their own merch, they plan everything they do on their own. Like, the one advantage they have now, they have a booking agent. Everything else they do on their own.
Yeah, right. and that's really, like, important. Like, that they're willing to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my take on that.
Fuck Up It As and Pfister, I think, work harder.
Yeah, Pfister too is really, they work really on top so of it hard. Too. So,
like, they're like, yeah, those two bands are definitely the hardest working bands that, like, I've worked with over the last 10 years.
Yeah,
yeah, they're definitely the most active on their on their promotion, which makes my job easier too. You know what I mean? So it's cool.
Typesetter works really hard too. We only get a 7 from them.
Also,
and they moved on to bigger things, and good for them.
Yeah. And Typesetter's a great band, by the way. For anyone who's listening to this, fantastic. You should really check them out. They're really good.
We did their first 7-inch, and then they kind of evolved from there.
Yeah.
And then Not Scientist
is really good too, but they're in Europe, so
you know. Like, Not Scientist was really, really good.
And they worked their asses off, and they're doing really... They're doing tours that they deserve with Flatliners.
They got to play with Bad Religion and Be First in the Gimme Gimmies.
They did their first U.S. tour with the Copyrights and Masked Intruder, which is... That's their first U.S. tour, you know? That's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah. Just finding bands willing to put the work in with you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can, like... You're only as strong as the sum of your parts, right? So it takes everyone working together to make something grow and to reach people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way sometimes with what I do with this show. Like, I've recorded some of them with people, and then, like, then they don't even share. And I'm like, well, what was the whole point?
Why did we do this?
Right.
Yeah, because you... Well, I promise you right now, I will share this.
Well, yeah, because you're here to make that look better.
All right, but that's the whole thing. Yeah, all I'm doing is trying to help you out. I mean, you're not even going to help yourself.
Right.
Like,
right.
So
yeah, and you put work in, man, too. Fucking so, you know, I'm trying, man. Yeah, like it's you do great things for the St. Louis bands.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
you know,
that. Well, you, like I said, here at you mentioned Not Waiting But Drowning practicing here, so. Encapsulated offers practice rehearsal spaces, t-shirts, vinyl distribution, CD distribution, all that. So, I mean, you're kind of...
All kinds of dumb things.
Yeah.
Just if you just want some dudes to hang out with, I'm here.
We're really good at drinking.
If you want to drink...
We're really good at drinking.
If you want to buy me some beers, I'm down. Yeah. I'm here for you. So,
but kind of a one-stop shop, so reach out if you... are interested in any of that stuff we're talking about. I mean,
hit us up.
Encapsulated can help you out. I was just reached out to Justin from Not Waiting But Drowning. Cool. So maybe we'll link up here soon.
Good.
Try to get something happen. I just thought that was kind of funny that that came up and. So you've known those guys like 20 years, then, I guess, or something like that you're saying?
It's...
Or more, I guess.
Yeah, it's probably been close to 20 years.
Mike's going
to
show his age here.
Oh, my God. So. I'm going to be 42 next year.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's dumb.
That is dumb.
It's super dumb. Steven, you're going to be what, 28?
I will be 29 in October.
Oh, look at you, almost 30.
Not quite. We'll see if I make it.
I said almost.
We'll see if I make it.
Almost. No, it's like, I love Justin. He's like, he's one of those people that he's been working in music forever, and like, he knows everyone, and he supports everyone, and like, he's just such a great person. Not just like a good musician, like in a good band, like he is just a great person. I'm stoked the fact that like, I've been able to work off and on with him for literally 20 years.
Yeah.
And, like, do things here and there and, like, get to know him and his band and, like, everything. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah. What were, you were saying you played some of those bands. What were some of those early bands that you played with?
Flying Zambonis was my ska band in the 90s because everyone in the 90s had a ska band.
Yeah.
Not just Bomb Roger.
I've never heard any of this before. I'm really excited right now to hear all these stupid band names.
Yeah. So,
what was that last one? Nitrous Bomb Roger?
Nitrous Bomb Roger.
All right. I dig it.
So, like, a more punk rock version of Manor Astro Man? Like, it was... Like, I still love Manor Astro Man. That band's fucking phenomenal. And then the last band I was in was Railed. We were essentially, like, an Avail ripoff.
That's cool. The world needs more Avail ripoffs.
The world needs more Avail.
But now that Avail's not a band anymore,
Avail just needs to happen again. Like, that just needs to happen again.
So, hey, Tim Barry, if you're listening right now, make Avail happen again.
I mean, you're coming to St. Louis soon. We will make sure you listen to this.
Yeah, I'm going to come find you and make you listen.
I will see you at the Duck Room. Here's a podcast. Avail happen again now. St. Louis said so.
Put these earbuds in. We have some demands, sir.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things is hearing old band names just because some of them are pretty ridiculous. And,
there's some great ones. I often find myself like thinking about cool band names, even though I'll never be like in a band, but just bands that things I would name.
I mean,
bands.
You could be.
I could be. I don't have.
I mean, you're only 28.
I don't have the dedication to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, it's a lot of work.
I don't have the talent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't have the talent either. No, that's number one. Let's be honest. Who am I kidding? I don't have the talent or the dedication or the, you know, the drive or
right.
anything, but...
That's where I'm at.
Hats off to bands, man. It's hard work.
People always ask me if I... Yeah, I guess it makes sense. Like, I hear it a lot, like, you know, in other podcasts and everything else. You know, like, comedians, like, if you want to be a comedian, like, you're always hanging out at the comedy club trying to get stage time and stuff. And
yeah.
And so, like, I would hang out there a lot. People always like, you want to do comedy? And I'm like, no, I just like comedy. You know, and the same thing with bands. Like, people always ask me if I play, and I'm like, no, I'm just a big fan of music and stuff.
Dude, I'm the same way, man. There's so many things I love, like music and like all kinds of shit. And it's just like, I'm always like, you ever want to do that? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I like being a part of the way I experience it is cool enough for me, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, I don't want to rule it out. Maybe someday I'll actually apply myself and try to learn an instrument or do something with it. But right now I just enjoy going to everybody else's shows. I think that's probably the biggest problem for a lot of these guys is they love music, but when they play in a band, you're always playing in the band. You hardly ever get to go watch your buddies play.
And, right.
Yeah, and for sure.
So,
what's cool for me is I felt like... Like, for a long time, I always wanted to be in bands and tried putting stuff together and stuff like that. Because, like, you know, when you're into any kind of music, I think, like, it's natural to want to participate in some level. You know what I mean? So, but, like, band stuff wasn't working out. Maybe, like, I wasn't dedicated enough or I wasn't willing to learn how to do certain things. You know, for whatever reason, shit just never really seemed to click. And then, like, once Mike got a hold of me and was like, hey, do you want to come, like, do some stuff with us? Like, I found a way to be a part of music and to give back, and you know what I mean? And so that was really cool. So it's not just being in a band, right? Like, you know, kinds of stuff you can do to be a part of music. So
well, sure. When I was in college, I was in two of those bands at the same time and running my label at the same time with one of my roommates. Like, I got more enjoyment out of working with the other label bands involved. I'm like, get to do this when, like, these people and these people and these people, this part of the country, there, that I just enjoyed it more because I got to work with more people. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes I'm very overly business oriented, and like I think sometimes I just like that more than like being in the band and like arguing with people and like, nope, I don't like that note. Do this instead. Like, no, you're wrong. I'm like, fuck you, you're wrong.
You don't tell me, I'm the proprietor, goddammit.
Proprietary turd.
Yeah, it's cool, though. You know what I mean? So, and it's really fun, too, because, like, I have... Like, I remember coming here the first time. So, like, I was friends with the guys in Bent Left, and now Company Retreat, and I still am. But, like, they actually played... The very first show I ever went to was the Lemp Art Center in 2003. They played the first punk show I ever went to. And then, like, in 2011 or 2012 or whenever the fuck it was, like, they were in town, and they were like, oh, we're hanging out here, and I came here, and that's when I met Mike for the first time. And then, like, I remember being, like, I was like, hey, if you ever need any help over here, I'll do anything for free. Because I was like, this is, something like this blew my mind, you know what I mean? Because I was so, because, like, you know, I'm from North County, I was living up there still. And I was just, like, so used to, you know what I mean, like, just being, like, oh, like, to me, a label was, like, Epitaph, or was Fat, or, you know, was No Idea, right?
You like, know, good labels.
Yeah, not the bullshit we do.
Right.
But it was, like, this unattainable thing, right? And then, like, it was, like, oh, my friends.
That is an unattainable
thing.
Well,
yeah, right. So, but, I mean, even just, like, the concept of, like, a physical space, you know what I mean, with, like, physical, you know, it was, like, that's, I'm never gonna fucking see anything like that, or whatever, and we're nowhere near on that level, to clarify. But it was cool, right? So it was just, you know what I mean? So it was fun to, like, you know, a few years later, be like, oh, cool, now I get to be a part of this, which is, I've gotten to meet so many cool people through this, which is, like...
Dude, that's the whole
point. That's awesome, yeah. That's what it comes down to. Like, I've made fucking lifelong friends.
I've had to travel the world because of this.
And that's more important, like, to me than anything else.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, man. I feel like that's my favorite part of being in the St. Louis music scene right now. Like, it's just... Between doing this show and then just going out to shows and everything else, like,
yeah,
I've made so many great friends, and it's like, that's the best part for me. Like, I love that. And
yeah, totally. So. It's like, and they're like, you know, like Modern Gold always, they're always like hashtagging their stuff. Like, St. Louis is a music town or whatever. Yeah. And they're so fucking right. You know what I mean? There's so much good shit going on here. It's a hotbed of creativity in multiple genres.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's also like people collaborating, coming together, which is really, really neat. So.
Well, I think there's something, there's definitely something special about going on here in St. Louis. And I think a lot of it, too, is just being that it's very affordable to live here also.
You ain't lying.
For a lot of people, for a lot of artist types. You know, so, like, there's a lot going on compared to, you know, some of our, you know, bigger cities and things where, but there's a lot, just a lot of people just, like saying, getting creative and a lot of people working together, and it's just a lot of really cool things happening right now in St. Louis, and
it's
totally exciting, man. But yeah, between physical art too and stuff, and not just seeing the music, but yeah, there's a lot of really cool things happening.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's one of my favorite parts is the art too. Like even just album covers and things, all the different.
It's so important
when people get creative with them instead of just putting like you know, just a.
Here's a picture of the band against the brick wall.
Here's a slimline jewel case with a blank CD inside. Right. Like,
But I love when people actually take it to the next level and
put
the time in to make it something, a real piece of artwork.
No, it's so important. Like with the vinyl too. Like the stupid
cool
vinyl
variants.
Like, what do you like best? What's your favorite interpretation? Like, it's awesome. It's so cool.
What suits your mood? Is it the translucent orange or the glow in the dark?
You know, you want the most limited variant available, so you can possibly sell it on eBay later for $5 more than what you paid for it.
Yeah.
Do you guys do a lot of that artwork and stuff too, or do you pretty much have people like submit their stuff to you, or you do design work and all that?
No one can read my handwriting. If I did artwork, like, it'd be terrible.
It's a true story. I was with Mike a while ago at, we had a table at like a little swap meet thing at Foo Bar, and we had some shirts for sale, and I had to write the signs because my handwriting is really fucking bad. So if I'm better than Mike, that's
terrible.
Like,
it's garbage.
It may as well be like written in Klingon or something. Probably. You can't read it. Like, so
wait, that's not Star Wars.
But I know that's Star Trek. You got to catch up, man.
Not happening.
So, but a lot of, you know, cool stuff that does come out of here art wise is stuff that Andy Binder does.
Yeah.
I've had him make some flyers for shows and stuff. All kinds of cool shit. Like that dude is on it. He's talented. So, and we love him very much.
He's also one of the printers here. He, like, design side, print side, like, Andy's awesome. He's awesome in Modern Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was also the singer guitar player for Sync the Bismarck. So, yeah, we've known him for a while.
Yeah. That Sync the Bismarck record, funny enough, was, like, the first record I heard that I Hate Punk Rock at the time put out that wasn't, like, that Ben Left split stuff.
You spilling shit?
No.
God damn it. Amateur hour.
That wasn't that Bent Left with that U.S. is awesome, Let Me Be Your Jesus, like, side A, side B shit. And I heard Sync the Bismarck. I'd never seen them before. And I was like, this is my fucking band, right? Like, because it was that punk rock, but, like, driven, like, rock and roll influence behind it. And I was like, that's what got me, like, hooked. So
that was
like, what was happening here.
I was on tour with Bent Left for, like 6 months to a year. And every place we went to, it was like, well, Sync the Bismarck coming here.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't.
That record is still.
They just couldn't make it happen. It was right at the time when, like,
Gaslight
Loved Ones came out
Loved
and,
ones,
like, Gaslight Anthem. And, like, it was that whole era and genre. And, like.
Of that, like, punk rock, heartland rock.
And it was, like.
Like.
I don't want to say it was better than a lot of it, but, like, it could have been better than a lot of it. If they would have stuck
or at least
it.
Right up there alongside of it.
I mean, you have to do your road time. You have to figure your shit out. Like, you can't just write the same record over and over again and, like, not leave town.
Those are, that record is still easily one of my favorite things to ever come out of this city, specifically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's, if you haven't heard it, it's amazing.
Yeah, I don't think I
have. I mean, it's no Pfister.
Like, I mean, Fisher's great too, right?
Well, obviously,
for me personally,
I can't believe like we've released both of those bands because they're so fucking different.
Yeah,
they're not even close.
Yeah, I mean, it's right, like everything from like everything we've done is like very different from it's like whether it's like
we make the worst life choices, the best life choices.
Yeah. You mentioned Andy and Modern Gold, and they were on the show a while back, and we had a real good time hanging out.
It was a great episode.
Yeah, I really
like. I haven't seen them yet. Yeah. Don't tell Andy, but he knows.
Yeah, he probably noticed.
But I really enjoyed hanging out with them, and the live stuff they played sounded killer. And the
so good, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure.
That's a great band.
Yep. So I'm excited to see what happens with that group. They're some real talented players,
and they're also like we were talking about before. Like they put work in.
Yeah,
they play. They promote themselves. Treat it like the way it should be treated, you know? And it's awesome. It's really cool to see a band do that.
That's one thing I compliment them on, because I felt like for a new band, they've come on in a hurry. Like, they've, you know, really been hustling to...
Out the gate, too, it's, right?
Like, that's just a sign of people that have been in bands for years.
Sure.
And then, like, oh, we're doing this now? Okay, this is what we have to do. And then they just bang it out.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's like, well, what do we do now? It's like, you know what you do now. I'm like...
Yep. Yeah, making a lot of the right choices and making things happen
definitely
pretty early on. So I'm excited to see what happens with that.
And playing good shows, too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So...
Yep. You guys did say you have a couple other cool releases coming out from Encapsulated year. Including Company Retreat.
Yes.
October 7th.
And Path of Might.
Path of Might
in November.
Yes,
I don't know. I don't know either of these groups. So let's tell me about them.
Company Retreat is Bent Left. So the Bent Left dudes, they were a band. They were still evolving, kind of thing.
And have gotten significantly better.
They were
from inception till now.
They were banned for 10 years and. Had, like, little hints of awesomeness here and there. Their early records. And they kind of just, like, outgrew the name and the... And I hate to say this, but, like, the brand? Like, when you start a band, you're 16, you name, like, Bent Left, like, that's fine. When you're 30, maybe that name doesn't have so much, like, meaning as it did.
I always took it as like a, it's obviously like a dick joke, but also, but
it's not a dick joke.
Well, it's like a dick joke, but also like a political reference, because and they still are like political dudes, but like, especially like that very first record is like, it's political as fuck. They're like an anti-flag ripoff essentially to start off with. Right.
This is true.
So you know what I mean? So, but yeah, like, and they kind of got more philosophical, I think, and less overtly political over time,
yeah.
Is fair to say,
yeah.
Right? So we talked about this before, saying that's the first show I ever saw, was
so they headlined. You mean less wordy?
Yeah. Well, more wordy. Those guys are the only people who use words in songs. I don't know what the fuck they mean.
Because Josh makes them up as he goes.
And I'm not convinced they're even real words sometimes.
And Will doesn't even care anymore at this
point.
Like, just tell me the syllables of what.
You should have them. Them on here. It'd be a great listen for me personally.
No, and so they added. So when they were first a band, they were a 4-piece, and then one of their guitar players got married, and left the band, and they went on 3-piece, and they kind of had to like rehone their skills and this or that, and. The first record without their other guitar player was not the best thing in the world.
The premeditated insanity, that 7-track or whatever little EP they did.
And then they kind of figured stuff out again and wrote a couple EPs there were a couple things on both EPs that were really, really good.
I really like USS Awesome specifically because of an application for federal assistance.
It's
a really good song. So, and then, like, they did that split with Half Rafter us after that.
Right.
And then Fabergé came out in, what, 2013? 2012?
The record's 4 years old?
No.
The record's probably 4 years old.
Okay.
It was probably 2013.
Fabergé came out.
No, it was probably 2014.
Was it?
Maybe.
No, because I wasn't working here yet, for sure, because I was working in 2014. I've been here for 3 years now.
You fired. Fuck off.
So, I swear to God, look, it's right...
What?
You can grab it off the wall.
It's almost
there.
2018. Like...
So, 14, 15, 17, the CD up there. The date will be in the CD. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, wait. You're assuming we document everything properly?
That date's gotta be in there. Is it shrunk wrapped?
It's taped.
God damn it. Okay. Well, believe me that it was before...
I gotta pee.
2014. Go pee. I'll take over.
Thanks.
So that came out. And when I heard that, I wasn't working here yet, and I was like, wow, this is really, really good. They've since now gotten a fourth member, a second guitar player. They played kind of like their last show as Bent Left and their first show as Company Retreat. That coincided with, for a long time, they were living together in the same house. They had this cool, like, basement venue called Club Mustache. They had a bunch of bands play. There were some local bands that played from St. Louis. The Wilderness came out for it. A bunch of KC bands. Half Raptor from Little Rock, Arkansas came, who they had a split with back in the day. And they kind of played out last, and they played, a handful of Bent Left tracks, and then they played together as Company Retreat for the last, like, three or four songs. It was really cool, and it was a special moment for me, considering, like, they headlined the first show I saw.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I'm really excited for that record to come out, and for us to do that CD release for them, and to be able to, like, promote that release, because to me, that's a cool... I think a lot of times in terms of things that are, like, that come full circle. So, to me, it's really neat to think, like, oh my god, like, so... The first band I ever saw headline like a punk show, which changed my life forever,
right,
then became my friends, and then became a band on a label I worked for, and now they're finally doing a release on a label I work for, and I get to, like, give back to them in that way,
man.
And then to the rest of the world too, for whoever's willing to listen and buy and check out, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So that's a really cool thing for me.
Definitely. Yeah, that's cool. Then we got...
The Path of Might release is coming out, too, which is also really neat, because Path of Might is Adam and Spencer and Derek, who are three guys who are from North County, where I'm from. We kind of... not grew up together, but we all met, like, around high school time, so... And we've been buds ever since. And I've seen those dudes play in so many different bands, like, from, like, basement... show in Hazelwood, shitty pop punk bands, to basement show, shitty Hazelwood hardcore bands, to fucking cool, like, heavier bands. Like, those dudes were in Whitefire. They've been in so many bands.
Whitefire was really good.
Path of Might. I think Spencer has filled in for Kirk and Pfister before on parts of Tour, right? He's played drums.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Spencer, specifically, is... so talented musically. Like, that dude can play anything. Derek is an insanely good bass player.
Did you talk about Stretcher?
So they were, like, in this really cool... Spencer was in this really cool... I think he played drums for, he sang for at one point. They went through some weird lineups, but...
It was definitely a Kid Dynamite ripoff.
It was a Kid Dynamite thing.
It was so good.
It was really good. So, like, Shook Ones was happening right around the same time, too. So, like, Kid Dynamite ripoff. So, it was right around the time, too, like, Broadway Calls was doing, like, Kid Dynamite covers and shit. It was that era where, like, punk rock and hardcore just kind of, like, fucking, like, merged together. And it fit really well. But also, like those dudes were in Cathedral Fever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they did a cool split with Hell Knight back in the... Like, so, like, this is a long time coming, I think, for, like, a really cool release, like, for us to finally do with them. I'm excited about it. And they're also just, like, the nicest people. So, it's gonna be cool, yeah.
Unlike you.
Yeah. I'm literally the meanest person.
Right.
Yeah. I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Yeah. There's one thing I never do. It's make an attempt to make sure I'm really nice to everybody I meet.
No.
So.
No, not at all.
Fuck you, man.
And German lore.
I'm not enjoying it, but it's
But good. You're drinking it, so you're enjoying it.
It's like, the more you drink it, the less bad it becomes.
Yeah.
So.
And then when you go to Chicago, you come with four bottles at a time. It's bad.
I don't go to Chicago.
Never. How was that Rancid Dropkick show?
It was cool. Somebody got stabbed, though.
Was it you?
No. No.
Oh, bummer.
That would have been the first thing we talked about on this podcast. Turn your fucking ringer off. Will you be professional for once in your life?
No, this is real life. This is all real life.
Are you texting Julie Ramos?
Yeah.
From Chicago?
Yeah.
Shout out to Julie.
She's really stoked.
Speaking of, we're talking about Chicago and she texted you. But yeah, there's some cool stuff coming up. I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, very cool. I also wanted to, while you're here, I wanted to bring up you also being the meanest person. You've been doing your part to give back, though. You've been doing...
Eat your words, Mike.
Yeah. I'm just going to drink my lard.
No, yeah. Well, that's about
You started
right.
your independent artist for Positive Change.
I did, yeah.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. That's a thing that I started doing around February, March.
Yeah.
So the long and short of it was that it was kind of like I went to this thing with my girlfriend Katie right after like Trump was elected and the inauguration happened and this and that, and there was kind of this like we went to this thing in Kirkwood that was like, oh, you know, like how can we react against this like in a positive way. It was cool, but it was very Kirkwood centric. You know, and I was like, okay, well, how can I, like, what do I have in my life that I can find ways to positively impact my community? And it all kind of ties together because, like, through here, through Encapsulated, like, I've gotten to meet loads of bands, people who work at venues, like, who also book shows. I was like, what if we start booking shows that are entirely, like, for charity and try to do something like once a month? So the first one that we did that I thought was important was a benefit show for the Women's Safe House of St. Louis. Because there was all of that, like, you know, there was... I felt like right around that time, too, or shortly before that, was, like, all those, like, grabbing by the pussy comments and stuff that, you know, I was opposed to. That I felt, like, kind of normalized some things that I don't think should be normalized.
Right.
Let's do that. Let's get bands together and we'll do like a big benefit show for that. And then right around that same time is when the tornado in Perryville happened. So I was like, well, fuck. Like if we're supposed to be affecting things like locally, like Perryville's like an hour away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's do a show and kick that shit off. So that became the first official show, but it wasn't the first that was booked. But since then, we've done some cool stuff for the Sierra Club. We've done shows for The Spot. We've done stuff for... We just did one for the Joe Strummer Foundation, which was really cool and important to me personally. We got one coming up for the Pages of Prisoners project. So, yeah, it's just a way to book shows with, like, bars or venues who are willing to give us all the door money. And we can take all the door money and we can send it all away to charity. So that was actually, the Sierra Club show was actually Modern Gold's very first show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then also, going back, Andy Binder, actually, he does all of our flyers. So for every show that I book, he does the flyers for. So
nice.
Yeah, it's cool. We did a run of shirts here. Andy did a logo for us. I think Mike and Andy printed them off. And, you know, I'm going to get some more done soon. But, yeah, it was just a way for me to take something that is very positive for me through music and channel it out elsewhere.
Right.
But it all, you know, it all kind of ties together. So
yeah,
I feel like it's like the weird extension of what's going on here, right? Like, it's like... Oh, there's Steven doing his shit again. Like, so, but it's fun. I really enjoy it. And I honestly, I could never have done it without the connections I was able to make here.
Right. Lies. Lies.
Well, I wouldn't
have totally could have done that on your own.
I couldn't have made those connections as easily if I didn't.
Because you're way better human than most of us. You could have figured that out. So. You've been fine.
So,
well, you can follow Independent Artists for Positive Change on Facebook.
We're on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, and you can follow Encapsulated Records on Facebook, Twitter,
and
Instagram.
Snapchat?
We're not on Snapchat.
You're not on Snapchat.
Not for Independent Artists for Positive Change.
Maybe you should be.
Maybe.
Maybe, I don't know.
It's just going to be like...
I don't give a fuck.
It's just going to be like once a month, like a band.
You're an adult, you do what you want.
So...
But, yeah, follow along. With, we got a lot going on. We got, like I said, a bunch of new records coming out. A lot of things happening. And pick up one of those Slayer or Danzig shirts. And
pick up all the dumb stuff.
Yeah. Pick up any shirt, really.
Right.
You should stop by. Say hi.
Buy anything you want.
Yeah.
So...
But yeah, man, this is cool. I'm excited to go home and do some homework now. I got some bands to check out because, like I said, I don't know Company Retreat or some of the Bent Left and some of the other projects we've mentioned. So
yeah, yeah, that Sink the Bismarck stuff. I would recommend highly. Super cool.
Yep.
You should check out that the Disappeared record if you haven't heard it that we did back in the days. Well,
all the encapsulated and I Hate Punk Rock stuff is on the Encapsulated Records Bandcamp page.
Yeah.
If that makes it easy.
Yeah, it's all up there. It's on Spotify,
it's
too.
All that stuff. Yeah, like, it's all somewhere.
Yeah. Well, very cool.
Awesome.
I thank you guys for taking some time to hang and talk about all this stuff.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for having us.
And so
we appreciate it.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I will see you guys soon.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.